जय रथ माधव कुञ्जादिहारी गोपीजन बलद गिरिधर थारी यशोद नन्दन ब्रज जन रञ्जन यमुना चरवन चारि जय राधा माधव कुञ्जादिहारी गोपीजन बलद गिरिधर थारी यशोद नन्दन ब्रज जन रञ्जन यमुना चरवन चारि जय राधा माधव कुञ्जादिहारी गोपीजन बलद गिरिधर थारि यशोद नन्दन ब्रज जन रञ्जन यमुना चरवन चारि हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे राम हरे राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे पञ्चतत्त्व पञ्चतत्त्व जय पञ्चतत्त्व जय राधा माधव राधा माधव राधा माधव जय राधा माधव जय नृसिंहदेव जय नृसिंहदेव Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Srila Prabhupada. Jaya Jaya Gurudev, 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 Jaya Jaya Gurudev.
Джай Вишну Пад Парамахамса Париврааджа Качарья Шатара Шата Ши Шри Матри Данди Госвами Абхай Чарана Равиндам Бхактивиданта Свами Шила Прабхупада Ки Джай Вишну Пад Парамахамса Париврааджа Качарья Шатара Шата Ши Шри Матри Данди Госвами Бхактисиданта Сарасвати Такур Прабхупада Махараджа Ки Джай Ананта Коти Вайшна Вринда Ки Джай Намачарья Шила Харидас Такур Ки Джай Ом Прем Стако Шри Кришна Чайтанья Прабху Нитьянанда Шри Адвайта Гадатар Шри Васа Адигора Бхакта Вринда Ки Джай Шиши Рада, Мадав, Гопи Гопинат, Рада Кунда, Шьяма Кунда, Гири Говартана Ки Джай, Вриндавана Мадура Дама Ки Джай, Майя Пура Навадипа Дама Ки Джай, Ганга Майя Ямуна Майя Ки Джай, Тулси Махарани, Бхакти Деви Ки Джай, Гаура Премананди. All glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees. Джай Ши Ши Гуру Гуранга. Jaya Shri Shri Guru Guranga, Jaya Shri Shri Guru Guranga, Jaya Srila Prabhupada, Jaya Srila Gurudeva. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Narayanam Namaskrityam Naram Cheva Narottamam Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam Tato Jayam Udhirahit Nashtaprayesha Bhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavatyuttama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtiki Нама Ом Вишну Падая Кришна Прештая Бутале Шримате Бхактивиданта Свами Ити Намине Намасте Сарасвати Деве Гауравани Прачарине Нирвишеша Шуннавади Пашетя Дешатарине Нама Махавадандяя Кришна Према Прадаяте Кришная Кришна Чайтанья Намне Гаурат Више Намаха Панчататватмакам Кришнам Бхактарупа Сварупакам Бхактаватарам Бхактакьям Намами Бхакта Шактикам Хе Кришна Каруна Синдху Дина Банту Джагатпате Гопиша Гопика Канта Рада Канта Намостуте Тапта Канчана Гауранги Радхе Вриндаванешвари Вришибану Суте Деви Пранамами Хари Прие Джай Шри Кришна Чайтанья Прабху Нитьянанда Шри Адвайта Гададхара Шри Васади Гаура Бхакта Вринда Харе Кришна Харе Кришна 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 Харе 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 Рамо Харе Рамо 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 Харе Харе Нама Вишну Падая Кришна Прештая Бутале Шимати Джая Патака Свами Ити Нимни Намо Чаря Падая Нитая Крипа Прадая Нагора Катта Дама Дая Нагора Грама Тарина. Хари Кришна. I am seeking your blessing to start and say something inspirational for the pleasure of Guru Gauranga and all the devotees. Thank you. So today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 14, and it's entitled The System of Universal Management. And text 7 and 8. 8, it's on the board, and 7 I will be reading myself. Indra, King of Heaven, receiving benedictions from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and thus enjoying highly developed opulences, maintains the living entities all over the three worlds, by pouring sufficient rain on all the planets. Zen text 8. Gyanam cha nu yugam brute Pariksida svarupa drik Rishirupa dara karma Yogam yoge sharupa drik Gyanam cha nu yugam brute Pariksida svarupa drik Риши рупа дара карма Йогам йогеша рупа дрик Гьянам чану йогам бруте Харик сида сварупа дрик Риши рупа дара карма Йогам йогеша рупа дрик Gyanam cha nu yugam brute Harik sida svarupa drik Dara karma Yogam yogesha rupa drik Gyanam cha nu yugam brute Harik Siddha Svarupa Drik Rishi Rupa Dara Karma Yogam Yogesha Rupa Drik Риши рупа дара карма Йогам йогеша рупа дрик Гьянам чану йогам бруте Харик сида сварупа дрик Риши рупа дара карма Yogam yogesha rupa drik Vaishnavas, please. Gyanam chana yogam brute Harik sida svarupa drik Rishi rupa dara karma Yogam yogesha rupa drik Gyanam, transcendental knowledge. Cha, and. Anuyugam, according to the age. Brute, explains. Hari, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Siddha Svarupa Drik. Assuming the form of liberated persons like Sanaka and Sanatana. Rishi Rupa Daraha. Assuming the form of great saintly persons like Yajnavalkya. Karma. Karma. Yogam. The mystic yoga system. Yoga Isha Rupa Drik. By assuming the form of a great yogi like Dattatreya. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jaya. In every yoga, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari, assumes the form of siddhas, such as Sanaka, to preach transcendental knowledge. He assumes the form of great saintly persons, like Yajnavalkya, to teach the way of karma, and he assumes the form of great yogis such as Dattatreya to teach the system of mystic yoga. Please repeat. In every yuga, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari, assumes the form of Siddhas, such as Sanaka, to preach transcendental knowledge. He assumes the form of greatly saintly persons, such as Yajnavalka, to teach the way of karma. And he assumes the form of great yogis, such as Dattatreya, to teach the system of mystic yoga. Purport. For the benefit of all human society, not only does the Lord assume the form of Manu as an incarnation to rule the universe properly, but he also assumes the forms of a teacher, yogi, gyani, and so on, for the benefit of human society. The duty of human society, therefore, is to accept the path of action enunciated by the Supreme Lord. In the present age, the sum and substance of all Vedic knowledge is to be found in Bhagavad Gita, which is personally taught by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And the same Supreme Godhead, assuming the form of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, expands the teaching of Bhagavad Gita all over the world. In other words, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari, is so kind and merciful to human society that he is always anxious to take the fallen souls back home, back to Godhead. So, what is the purpose of this world? It is said that the purpose of this world, the pleasure of Krishna. And also it's said in some sources that the purpose of this world is to reform jiva. And then one may say, well, how we can even compare the enjoyment of Krishna or the interest of Krishna with the interest of minute jiva? It's so small, it's so tiny. And how we can reconcile this? It appears to be a contradiction. And actually, Acharyas explain that the greatest pleasure of the Lord in this material world to take jiva and to bring it back to the spiritual world. Reforming on the way. Reforming the consciousness, transforming the consciousness, so that this jiva will be eligible to enter the spiritual world and drown in the happiness of the relationship with the Lord. Thus, this jiva will be eternally happy. There is no other way to happiness. That's how it should be reconciled. So this is the pleasure of the Lord, but the greatest pleasure of the Lord here to rectify jiva, to reform jiva's consciousness. That's the purpose of this world. And Krishna says about this in his non-verbal dialogue with Arjuna, which Acharyas could perceive. He says in 1866, Krishna, the entire universe can give up all the activities, we know this, sarva, dharma, parityaja, and engage happily in my devotional service. And the responsibility for bringing them to me is mine. I am taking the responsibility for bringing them to me. And the responsibility to maintain their bodies on the way is also mine. So he's taking these two kinds of responsibility, to bring them and on the way to maintain them. And this is expressed by his Aham Tvam Sarya Papabhyo. I will take all your things, don't worry, just give up all your karmas. That's how Krishna brings us to him. And he then said, because I am Satya Sankalpa, my desire is truth. So he's promising here. And with this passage, we could understand how Krishna is thinking, actually. What is his keen desire? To bring us to the spiritual world. And for this, he is taking this responsibility to lead us there, to the spiritual world, and on the way to maintain that. He voluntarily takes these responsibilities on his shoulder. And his promises, I am Satya-sankalpa. My desires, all those truths, they come true as soon as they appear in me. It's all already reality. So if he desires us to be there, that means we will be at one point there. No doubt about it, because it promised by Krishna. And to transform the jiva's consciousness, Supreme Personality of Godhead expand himself in six features. It's very important for this task of uplifting the consciousness of the jivas. That the holy Dhamma with the holy rivers, that's the first expansion of Krishna. And then the holy scriptures, and then the holy name, and then the personal associates, we call them parshats, and the paraphernalia. They are all coming here on the will of the Lord to disseminate this knowledge about him and to establish the principles of worship, the Supreme Person, and thus to lead us there. So that's the fourth. And fifth expansion of Krishna for this purpose is a spiritual master, or as in this verse, the teacher who teaches the path to perfection, right? To uplift the consciousness to eligible, to make them eligible to enter the association of the Lord in the spiritual world. And the sixth expansion of the Lord for this purpose is to maintain. He becomes the maintainer of these worlds, like Manus, like different demigods, to maintain us, to send everything needed for our upliftment here. So one thing is to uplift, and another to maintain us while we are being uplifted, right? So, and this is devotee Sangha. Together with these maintainers, he sends the devotee Sangha, the association with the devotees. For us, that's like the water for the fish. The fish can live only in the water. The same with us. We can live only in the association with the devotees. That's our medium. That's our water. That's where we get developed as devotees. We get nourished as the devotees. That's special expansion of Krishna for us to reside in the association of devotees. So this verse particularly is saying about this fifth expansion of Krishna as a teacher. He is a teaching. What he is teaching? Uplifting method which leads to perfection. He is teaching karma yoga, or how to connect him. Yoga means connection, linking process. How to connect to him through karma or proper activities. Right, that's karma yoga. And as Dattatreya he is teaching there. And then Jnana Yoga, he's teaching how to connect him through knowledge, transcendental knowledge, as Sanatana and Sanaka Kumaras. And then he's teaching yoga or mystic perfection, or how to connect to him as to Paramatma in the process of meditation or through the process of meditation, as Dattatreya. And of course, it's not mentioned in the verse, but Srila Prabhupada mentions this in the purport. He's coming as Krishna himself, like in his personal form, as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to teach Bhagavad Gita. Because all these steps to perfection, which is mentioned here, karma, jnana, yoga, is given in Bhagavad Gita, in the condensed form, as the steps, as the means to get there on the top. And on the top, we have Bhakti Yoga. So they come in to teach Bhakti Yoga. That's most sublime of all the yogas. And actually, under yoga, we should understand Bhakti Yoga, because all other yogas in this time, in this age, they don't work so much. And we will come to this. And also, these four yogas, that's a path to perfection, which leads the jiva to the spiritual world. That's the world which lies beyond this matter. So nothing beyond them, actually, this four paths leads to perfection. And Krishna here explains, or rather Shukadeva Goswami, how Krishna maintains the jivas on the level of spirit, on the level of pure soul, on the spiritual level. Like in Bhagavad Gita in 15th chapter, it's explained how Krishna maintains the living entities here here on so many different levels, starting from universal, as Garbhada Kachaya Vishnu, right? All the varieties of the planetary system created by Garbhada Kachaya Vishnu. That's how he maintains us on universal level. And then more specific, how he maintains on the planetary level, as Kshirada Kachaya Vishnu, he enters each and every planet to make them stable on their orbit by the force of gravitation, the force of gravitation. That's one of the energies of Paramatma. And also he enters each and every atom to make them integrate, disintegrate, interact, because without this, the matter cannot even be formed, right? So some force should be there behind, and this is force of Paramatma to make the matter get together, to shape the matter. So this is Paramatma. That's how he maintain us on the level of planet. And also, he maintains us more specific on the level of our gross body as the same Paramatma who enters our heart. That's our Upadrashta and Anumanta, the person who observes our activity and permits this activity. And from Paramatma, we are coming to the subtle level. And on the subtle level, on the level of subtle level, and on the level of subtle body, Krishna maintains us as a principle of intelligence, which also comes from Paramatma. Matak smritir jnanam apohanam chas. From me, the remembrance and knowledge and forgetfulness come. And this is principle of intelligence, and it's given by Paramatma. So he maintains on all these levels, and finally we come to the spiritual level, when the jiva, tired of fulfilling its desire here in this material world, then Krishna suggests here, yes, take. Vedaisha sarvam aham eva vedanta krit vedavit eva chaham. This is your spiritual level. I am giving you Vedanta. I am a Vedanta krit. I am a compiler of Vedanta, and also I am Vedavit, the one who knows the Vedas. And I am all that is knowable by Vedas. I am the object of all the knowledge of the scripture. So here the explanation how Krishna maintains the jiva on the level of soul. So these three paths to perfection, actually they correspond to Varnashrama, because they're supposed to be performed in Varnashrama, like say Karma Kanda or Karma Yoga. That's for Grihastashram, right? For Grihastha, because they have some spirit, like material desires, and this is Dharma, Artha, and Kama. So in order to fulfill these desires, they follow the path of karma, which is enunciated by Krishna through Yajnavalkya, the sage of Yajnavalkya. And then, of course, Jnana Kanda or Jnana Yoga, the main ashram follows Jnana Yoga and Ashtanga Yoga in different proportions, like Brahmacharis and then Vanaprasas and the Sannyasi. So those who are in a renounced order, they follow this path, Jnana, the path of knowledge and renunciation, and then the path of yoga, the path of getting perfection through meditation on Paramatma, and like in different proportions. And this is followed by Vanaprastas, Sannyasis, and Brahmacharis up to the level of entering into Brahman or into the effulgence of Paramatma. That's the moksha. So the Grihastha ashram follows Dharma, Artha, and Kama through the path of karma enunciated by the sage Yajnavalkya, and all others, they following the path of Jnana Karma and Ashtanga Yoga path through meditation on Brahman and then on Paramatma. But the path of Bhakti Yoga, it's most sublime, because all other paths, they are so slow. Yes, they will give perfection, but when? It's so gradual processes. Like, for example, it's said in Shastras, for the followers of this path of karma and jnana and yoga, for them to get perfected, say, in the varna of Shudra. Shudra has to reborn 100,000 times to become perfect as Shudra by following this path of karma. 100,000 times he is reborn again and again and again in the same varna as Shudra. And when he is perfect by this path, then he reborn in the varna of? Who is the next? Yeah, Vaishya. He is reborn as a Vaishya. And in this varna, he is supposed to be reborn 1,000 times again and again and again as Vaishya and Vaishya and Vaishya until he is perfect as Vaishya. And then he is reborn as Kshatriya again 1,000 times until he is perfect as Kshatriya. And then he finally reborn as a Brahmana. And here he's supposed to be reborn again 100 times to become perfect as a Brahmana. Then only after this perfection he gets to perfection through all these different paths, and then he is promoted to higher planetary system, even to the Brahmaloka after this. So it's very long path. It's not stable. We never know what happened in between, as it happened to Daksha. Actually, that's a very interesting and story from which we can get so many lessons. Daksha was illustrious son of Lord Brahma. And to him, Lord Brahma delegate the knowledge of karma, how to, by ritualistic activities, how to get all the desires fulfilled. Right? Whatever desirable you can get by different rituals of karma kanda. That was given to Daksha. And also, he gave him very prestigious position of progenitor of the universe. But Daksha became little proud. And he insulted Lord Shiva. And because of this, he changed. He interrupted his progress as a Brahmana, as a so highly elevated Jiva here, endowed with so many wonderful qualities. But because of this insult of Shiva, he changed his body twice. First, he got Godhead body. Godhead body. And when he changed this body, he became a son of Prachetas. So already he diminished his position from Brahmana to Kshatriya, because Prachetas, they were Kshatriyas. And Prachetas were great devotees of the Lord, because their spiritual master was Lord Shiva, who is the greatest devotee of Sankarsana. So Daksha, as a son of Prachetan, could have taken this opportunity to become a devotee, but he denies this opportunity. He refused to become a devotee. Instead of this, he for 5 manvantaras, or 5 duration of life of Manu, he performed severe austerities to regain this position as a progenitor. 5 manvantaras, it's literally speaking millions and millions of years, just to regain this prestigious position and regain, together with it, the position of Brahmana, because now he became Kshatriya. So he interrupted his progress. So he started again from the scratch, like to again to come to the position of Brahmana. So what to speak? Where is the question of him even becoming closer to moksha? Because it's a force purusha artha, right? Dharma, artha, kama, and then moksha, to get liberation. So it took for him millions of years just to traverse this path. It's not so easy. It's very difficult. And especially it's difficult in Kali Yuga, because to perform this path, to perform all these khandas or all these karmas, you have to be rich. And you have to have qualified brahmanas to chant the proper mantras, to do proper rituals for this, right? So where to get? Nobody teaches actually this science nowadays. So it's not so easy. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada tells us, and Krishna tells us, sarva dharma parityaja. Just leave all these things and just surrender unto me. And that means the path of bhakti. And now we are coming to a very interesting point. Srila Prabhupada says in Bhagavad Gita 3.16, even those who cannot follow the Vedic injunction may adopt the principles of Krishna consciousness, and that will replace the performance of Vedic yagyas and karmas. Literally speaking, our acharya tells us, no need in all this. Right now, it's not effective anymore. So only pass to perfection in this age that bhakti. Because as the followers of bhakti yoga, we are not losing anything by just giving up all these rituals. Just the opposite. We are getting the result of all of them. Plus, we are getting pure love of Godhead. This is a great feature of bhakti. This is a unique position of bhakti. And again, in Bhagavad Gita 3.16, Krishna says that another name for these four paths to perfection is sacrifice or yagya. So all these paths, that's yagya. And then he says what yagya is. Yagya, that's what? That's the sacrifice. So all these paths, that's the sacrifice. On different levels. Now we are coming to the point of sacrifice. So with these processes, we sacrifice something to the Lord. First, that's karma kanda and karma yoga. That's sacrifice on the level of our gross body. What we sacrifice in karma yoga? We sacrifice our karma. We sacrifice our activity, right? To the Lord. And also the fruits of this activity in different ritualistic sacrifices. And then on the level of subtle body, the level of mind, intelligence, and false ego, that's a sacrifice by jnana yoga. So jnana yoga sacrifices what? The activity of the mind. That's a meditation on transcendental knowledge, on Brahman and Paramatma. That's the activity of the mind. So that's sacrifice done by jnana yoga on the level of subtle body. And then on the level of the soul, that's bhakti yoga. That's a sacrifice of our real nature, giving it to the Lord. So according to the verse, the Lord comes to teach this principle of sacrifice. All right. Let's explore a little bit this principle of yagya, what yagya is. The yagya or sacrifice, it derived from word yaji. Mam yaji, mam namaskaru, we know this, 1865. Worship me. Yaji means to worship. Right. And then in 7.14.35, Krishna explained what does it mean to worship. To worship means to give something for satisfaction. Then the definition of yagya is it's worship of the Lord with the intention to give satisfaction. So three things are here. First, the sacrifice is the worship. How we worship the Lord? By sacrifice. There is no other way to worship the Lord, only through sacrifice. And what is the sacrifice? It's the act of giving. How you worship then? By giving something. That's your worship of the Lord. You have to give something. Either your gross body, or your subtle body, or your soul. That's called Atma Nivedana. We are giving all these Atmas. Atma, that's the Sanskrit term for the body. Atma is the Sanskrit term for the soul. Atma is the term for the mind. Atma is the term for intelligence. So all these Atmas should be given to the Lord. This is the principle of sacrifices. And this is done only in bhakti yoga, because in all other processes, they give something, some atma, either gross body or subtle body, and never together, never the combination of all of them. Only bhakti yoga leads to atma nivedanam, or full surrender with all your atma, whatever you have, gross, subtle, and your soul to the Lord as Atma Nivedana without any reservation. That's full surrender. And also from this definition of yagya. So yagya should be done for the satisfaction of Krishna. So if there is no like the idea to give pleasure to the Lord through this yagya, then it's not yagya. It's not worship. So worship should be done with the idea to satisfy the Lord, desire to satisfy it. So otherwise it's not the worship. Otherwise it's not the sacrifice. So sacrifice, it's to please the Lord, to give satisfaction. And the principle of satisfaction, or the principle of yagya in this world, it's explained by Krishna himself in 3.10 Bhagavad Gita. Saha yagya prajak shrishtva. Saha yagya prajak shrishtva. In the beginning of creation, Prajapati, who is Lord Brahma, created what? Praja. Praja shrishta saha yagya, together or alone with the sacrifices for Vishnu. It's a very interesting moment, actually. So all the living entities were created together with the yagya. It's like one single whole. They're not separate. They cannot be separate. They're inseparable. So the yagya were not created before, not after, but simultaneously with the living entities. Like an embryo and the umbilical cord, they going together. It's a single whole. You cannot imagine the embryo without the umbilical cord, because through this umbilical cord, the embryo gets everything needed for his life and development, right? And also, there is no point in just the umbilical cord without embryo. It should be attached to embryo. So they go in together, yagya, as the umbilical cord to get everything for the life, to get everything desired for our development. And the embryo or the living entity, they're together, they're inseparable. They are created like this, as one single whole. Praja, living entity, and yagya, for the satisfaction of the living entity. So this yagya is an inbuilt principle or inbuilt feature in our life as the jivas. So all the sustenance, and where this umbilical cord actually going? What is the second end? First end is the living entity, and the second end is Vishnu. All right? Everything needed for us coming through this channel of yagya, or our umbilical cord, to us as an embryo from Vishnu. Vishnu, who is sending all needed. He is a donor for our life. He's the greatest donor, right? Through different demigods, including Manu, demigods, who transfer all the things to us, right? On behalf of Vishnu. Vishnu is the giver, but all this coming through the different demigods, through this channel of yagya. So yagya should be done, otherwise to live, it's impossible. We have to perform yagya to be able to be nourished, to be able to be maintained, to be able to be transformed as jivas here. And then Lord Brahma continue. Be you happy by this yagya. Be you happy, because its performance will bestow upon you everything desirable for living happily and achieving liberation. It's very also important to understand what does it mean. Be happy by this yagya. First of all, by this phrase, Lord Brahma indicated the goal of life. What is the goal of life? Be happy with this yagya. What is the goal? To be happy. That's the goal of life, right? Why we're living here, why we came here, to be happy, to become happy. So happiness. Praja is created for happiness. But then Krishna contradicts Lord Brahma, because Lord Brahma tells, be happy, but Krishna says, from the planet of Brahma until the lowest planet, all these are the places of miseries. where repeated birth and death take place. So how we can be happy in the places of misery? That's the question, right? Brahma tells, yeah, you can be happy. Krishna tells, no, you cannot be happy because all these places are places of misery. So how to reconcile? How to get this happiness in the places of misery? That's a great secret of yagya. So how it can be reconciled? Yes, if we use this world for our satisfaction, then we are getting into miseries. If we use this world for the satisfaction of Krishna, it liberates us. It will give us final happiness. That's great secret of this yagya. So by yagya we satisfy the Lord. Whatever activity we perform, it should be performed as yagya, with a desire to satisfy the Lord. And then it liberates, and then it gives happiness. So we can be happy here in this material world just performing this yagya. That's the secret of happiness. So yagya gives everything possible for our happiness here in this material world. How we get this happiness through yagya? It's like father happy when the son returns him the candy with the son gotten from the father, right? The child acknowledging, yes, pa, you loved me so much, you gave me this candy, so I return you back. Please take. Take first. So father is happy because the child acknowledged his mercy, acknowledged his everything, the love for his child by giving this candy back to the father. And the father is happy. So when Krishna is happy with our yagya, then what happening? We start reflect this happiness. That the happiness comes automatically when Krishna is happy with the act of giving. It's very crucial to understand. Our happiness is not independent. It doesn't depend on our activity and doesn't depend on our endeavor. It depends solely on Krishna. If he is happy with our yagya, we will be happy. Everything will be provided. So that very crucial point to understand. To satisfy Krishna, that's what make us happy in this world. And then the second contradiction here, Brahma says, yagya bestow everything desirable. That's kama, that one of the purusha artha, that one of the purposes of human life. To fulfill our desires, right? Yagya bestow everything desirable. Whatever you desire, no matter what, it will be given to you. And you will get liberation. Actually, it's two different paths. Path of karma or kama and path of liberation. That's nivritti and pravritti. They never getting together. They never crossing. But here seems like yagya fulfills the purposes of those two paths. You can get all the desires fulfilled, plus simultaneously you can get liberation. That's also a great advantage of performing the yagyas. How come, actually? It's also explained by Srila Prabhupada in Bhagavad Gita 3.16. Fruits of yagya, whatever you get as a result of this yagya, fruits of yagya, when the performer gets them, don't entangle in matter. Usually, when you receive something from your activities, some fruits, then you use them for your purpose, for your satisfaction, and this is sinful. And because it's for your satisfaction, if it's just normal material activity, whatever fruit you get, you use for why you perform this activity, to satisfy yourself, and to get home, children, harvest, and car, whatever, good education, like this. So if it's done in some normal way through some material process of activities, then whatever you get, if it's used for your own satisfaction, will entangle you because it's sinful. We just heard recently that any material desire aimed at our satisfaction or pleasure, it's a sinful desire. And when further we act upon this desire, then this is sinful activity upon the sinful desire. So the sinful desire leads to sinful activity. But in the case of yagya, whatever is given as a fruit, the same car, the same home, the same everything, when it's used even for our satisfaction, even for our pleasure, it's not entangling. It's not sinful, in other words. It's a unique feature of yagya. It's not a sin to use this. It comes like a mahaprasad from the Lord, right? When we perform yagya, so we then take mahaprasadam. The same, the fruits of yagya, they come in as a mahaprasad of the Lord, sent not by Prakriti, not by Durga Ma, not by from this material energy it's sent, by from above, from Divya Prakriti. That actually makes difference. The fruits of yagya and fruits just normal materialistic activity. So the results of this activity sent from Divya Prakriti. Then spiritual energy, internal energy of the Lord means sent by the Lord himself. Therefore, by nature, these fruits are not entangling because they're spiritual by nature. Although it may appear like material, but they're spiritual by nature. Therefore, they're not entangling more when we use them. This is a great secret. And therefore, when we use these fruits, they purify us. They purify our consciousness. And how does yagya purify? As we say, the fruit of yagya purifying because they are sent by the Lord as his Mahaprasad. And when we take it for our pleasure, it's still purifying because they are spiritual by nature, the fruits of this yagya. And also, we have to act with the understanding in the yagya that everything belongs to Krishna. It's not like I'm donating something in the temple because temple is poor and nothing to feed Krishna and nothing to dress for him there. So I donate something out my belongings or whatever, earnings, just to maintain Krishna there. So I'm so great. I got everything so I can now donate something to the temple. No, that's not the proper mood of yagya. The proper mood of our yagya should be that I donated or I sacrificed something out of my earnings for Krishna, because anyway he's the owner of this. He owns everything. He is a Sarvaloka Maheshwaram and Vasudevam Sarvaiti, whatever exists, it's him or his. Right? So whatever I can get, it's because of some piety it's sent to me, but it belongs to Krishna. It's given to me temporarily. So what can I do? The best way is to give him whatever was given to me. With this understanding, it's much better, Krishna says, the sacrifice with the knowledge, with this knowledge, that Krishna is a proprietor of the yagya. Bhaktaram yagyataki enjoys all the yagyas. Why? Because he is a proprietor of what we want to give to him. All right? So this understanding, that what is purifying in yagya. So this knowledge purify all our karma circle. We have entangling karma circle here, starting from avidya. Avidya is the root cause of our sufferings. Avidya gives the desire connected to the body. This is called bija, the sinful desire. And when I want to fulfill the desire, I act. And this activity is sinful activity. Bija and papam. And then this papam gives karma. Prarabdha or aprarabdha. Together with samskaras, like a subtle energy imprint of the event. And this samskara gives the further development of this desire as sinful proclivity. It's called kutam, the sinful proclivity. When I am inclined towards the same sin. Again, I want to repeat it. And everything starts from avidya. Then this kutam or subtle proclivity, sinful proclivity, gets further grown into the desire. It's already materialized, fully developed desire for some kind of sin. And what is the sin? As you heard, any desire to satisfy my senses, it's sinful. Doesn't matter what is it. Anything. for myself, not for Krishna. But when it changed to, this avidya changed to vidya or divya gyan, then all this circle automatically becomes purified. Actually, this divya gyana burns all the constituencies of this karma circle. It burns sinful desire, bijam. It burns sinful activity. We cannot, if there is no sinful desire, then we will not act sinfully, right, upon this desire. It burns the prarabdha karma and aprarabdha karma and all the samskaras, and it burns the kutam, or a proclivity toward the sin. So everything burned, all the constituents, all the causes of our suffering, three causes of suffering, avidya, bijam, papam, and kutam, even four. So it's eradicated by this understanding that Krishna Sarvamiti, so that the knowledge which purify us, this knowledge. So we have to act, to sacrifice something with understanding that it belongs to Krishna. This knowledge purify everything. And third one is the last one. Yeah. What to sacrifice? That's the question. What we supposed to sacrifice? Well, everything is his. Everything is in him here, right? Nothing is here that is not him, that is not Krishna. And Krishna said, yes, this is the essence of yagya. Whatever you get from me, give it back to me. Patram pushpam palam tayam. But add something from your side. It's very interesting how he put it. And I will accept you. If you offer this to me, I will accept, right? Ashnami, I will accept. It's a little strange. Why wouldn't Lord accept it? Why it's needed for him to say, I will accept it? Because usually, according to the Vedic culture, the giver, when he gives something to someone, he never takes back. He never accepts back whatever was given, right? But here, Krishna already sacrificed everything for us. We are using everything. And then what we can sacrifice to him? Because anyway, it's a gift already given to us. He said to us, just add something from your side. What we can add? We can add our feelings, our bhakti, as he wants from us. At least something. And it could be different. It could be different. Feelings, like appreciation, right? I appreciate. And from this appreciation of Krishna, he gave to me everything for my life, right? Through this umbilical cord. He gave to me everything. I appreciate Krishna. And it creates a sense of duty. I am obliged to give something back. This is a motive in the mode of goodness, to give something to Krishna. I am obliged. There's a sense of beauty. Comes from appreciation. That's this small something which we can add to our offering to Krishna. Or the sense of gratitude, the feeling of gratitude. I'm so grateful because Krishna fulfilled all my desires, right? He fulfilled all my desires. So out of gratitude, out of gratefulness, I want to give him back whatever he gave to me. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that this motive in our sacrifice, this is the greatest and the closest to pure bhakti. When I am giving Krishna everything without any motive, even the gratefulness, gratitude is not there anymore. So he said that to give Krishna something with the gratitude, that the mode of goodness, that the feature of mode of goodness, the quality of mode of goodness. But if you are going further to the pure bhakti, then there is no motive. So this gratefulness, that's the closest motive of our sadhana or of our sacrifice to Krishna. So I think I have. And then spontaneous love. After this gratitude, then no motive anymore. I just want to give Krishna everything. And this is already spontaneous, without any motive, just because I love him. So that's the path. That's a progressive path from karma kanda to bhakti. I think I have to finish here, and if you have, because so many things to say, actually, as usual, but we can continue some other time. Thank you so much. And Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Any questions or comments? Or probably you just come and personally discuss. Through Bhakti Yoga. That's our greatest yagya. That's Sankirtana yagya. That's for different ages, prescribed different methods of perfection. So for this Kali Yuga, that Sankirtana yagya is prescribed. That's our yagya. That's our umbilical cord to get everything, to be nourished with everything. Whatever we desire, we arm with the yagya, like offering the holy name to the Lord. That's it. It's not coming from the Lord. It's not yagya. It's not the result of yagya. We are speaking about yagya. So it may or may not come as a result of the effort. That's up to their karma. That was the point. They're getting something as a result of the activity, but if it come or not, it's up to Paramatma to decide on the basis of their karma if they deserve this or not. But for us, it's coming for sure, because the Lord is the highest supplier of all the things, and He is very affectionate towards us as our Father. So as our Father, He will supply us. But Durga is not good mother.
One more question, that you told that the Lord will take six forms of expansion for Jiva to revive, right? But these expansions are eternal, no? So they were already exist. So the Lord is giving us for the revival, not that Lord personally expanded for the revival itself, right?
No, that's His expansion for this world, because Yajnavalkya is not there in the spiritual world. Or other saints like Sanatana and Sanak Kumara, they're here in the material world for some specific purpose to teach. They're not there. They're not residing there. Neither Yajnavalkya, not Dattatreya. That's the expansion of Krishna here in the material world to teach the people here. They're not eternal, like expansions of the Lord residing in the spiritual world.
Okay, Max. Thank you.
Hare Krishna. Thank you for the class. I really appreciated the different points that you raised on the logic of the points about yajna and how the Supreme Lord reciprocates with the living entities. There was something you mentioned about Divya Gyan and how that changes the heart from being fruitive to coming to the level of pure love. What would you say is the most effective way to give people that transformation so that they can go from living in a fruitive way to a devotional way?
The most effective way of transformation is Bhakti Yoga, because it's very quick and very effective. Because the difference between Bhakti Yoga and other paths to perfection, that Bhakti Yoga, that's perfect combination of the greatest feature of all these paths to perfection. Say, from Karma Yoga, Bhakti takes the active principle of karma. We are very active in our devotional service, right? Because the Bhakti is supposed to be manifest through some agency. This is agency, that's our activity. How to manifest our feeling towards the Lord. We act, all right? We act towards Him. That's how we can manifest our Bhakti. That's the activity we take from karma. And then second active principle, that jnana, because we want to know the Lord. We want to know our sambandha. We want to know our prayojana. We want to know our abhideya. All right? We want to know our relationship with the Lord, the method how to get into this relationship, and the prayojana, that the Lord Himself. We are meditating on the knowledge. So two of them, because karma doesn't apply knowledge. Karma applies only activity if we traverse this path of karma. There is no knowledge there. Okay, it's just activity. On the path of jnana, there is knowledge, there is enunciation, but not activity. All right? So, but bhakti, that's the highest, because this is a combination of all the features of all other yogas, plus the proper motivation, why I am doing this. It's not for my purpose. I want to offer this to Krishna for his pleasure. And because this is for the Supreme Person, it makes bhakti yoga the highest. All other paths, like karma, that's for the demigods. Jnana, that's for the Brahman. And yoga, that's for Paramatma. But bhakti, that's for Krishna, the Supreme Person. And because that the way to satisfy the Supreme Person, it makes it highest and most effective, because all the features of all other yogas are there in bhakti, but in proper combination, nothing missing. Plus, added the proper motivation. That's for him.
Thank you.
And because we are coming to Divya Jnana, it's very easily, in one lifespan, actually, it just burns all the constituents of our karma. Thus, we are getting happiness, because three main causes of our unhappiness here, and they burned by Divya Jnana, which is given by Bhakti Yoga.
Hare Krishna Mataji, it was a very wonderful class with so many points, which I will again hear it from the website, you know, to make notes of it. I just wanted to know one important thing you said about sacrifice. You said when you do Jnana Yoga, we sacrifice something. And what was that? The mind,
yeah.
You sacrifice?
Yeah, we sacrifice on the level of subtle body. And subtle body is the mind, intelligence, and false ego. That the object to sacrifice in Jnana Yoga.
Like because that in Karma Yoga and in other yogas, whichever, if you will say, I just want to put it.
Yeah. So all these yogas, they specific sacrifices on some particular levels, on some specific levels. So karma yoga, that sacrifice on the level of gross body.
Oh.
On gross body. We active. We act with this gross body. And this activity, that's a sacrifice towards the Lord. We sacrifice the activity of this body. We act something. Because karma comes from word kara. Kara means hands. So we active, we do something actively by our body, by our hands, and this is what we sacrifice to the Lord on the level of gross body. And then Jnana Yoga, that's the sacrifice on the level of subtle body. We sacrifice our mind, mental activity. We meditate on the knowledge of Brahman. And thus, the meditating on Paramatma, that we sacrifice our mind and intelligence and false ego for the sake of the Lord. And in bhakti, we sacrifice our soul. That is sacrifice on the level of the soul. We sacrifice our soul. We are giving our eternal real ego, I am a servant to the Lord. And this is the nature of the soul. So we sacrifice our soul.
Now, in bhakti yoga, when we are doing at the level of the soul, because we are still in bodily consciousness, we are still in mind's consciousness, when we chant, are we also, the beginners in bhakti yoga, are we also chanting from the soul? Or, you understanding what I am trying to ask you?
Yes, it's also a very important question, and we have to do something before we start chanting. Actually, we have to do something before we start any kind of devotional service, and it's called Bhuta Shuddhi.
Huh?
It's called Bhuta Shuddhi. Yeah, it's not just for the deity worship. Bhuta Shuddhi should be done according to Jiva Goswami for all kind of devotional services, including the chanting of the holy name. Bhuta means elements. And Shuddhi means pure, to purify the elements so that finally everything gets purified and you start chanting on the spiritual level. So this is threefold meditation. It's very simple. Threefold meditation. We have to arrange our mind properly before we start chanting. First fold in this meditation, I am eternal servant. Now I am going to serve the Lord. This is a connection to your soul. It may be covered with so many different distractions during the days. But when you just make your mind, yes, I want to do it as an eternal servant of the Lord. I want to give Him pleasure by chanting His holy name. Because He derives great pleasure just by hearing His holy name. He's in Radha. Radha even more than Him. So He's very happy, actually. That's what He wants to hear, the name of Radha. When He chants the holy name of Radha, He's just running behind you, just catching you and giving everything Himself. Yeah, so the first fold in this meditation, I am eternal servant, so I am going now to serve. And the second fold, He is my eternal master, thus we establish the relationship. He is going, I am asking you to please accept this service from me. You are my eternal master, I am doing this for your pleasure. This is the second fold of meditation. And the third fold of meditation, whatever you send to me as a reciprocation, I am giving you the holy name, you're accepting, and then you're supposed to give me something back. It will create the relationship, right? This reciprocation in life. Whatever you send to me as a result, I will accept as your mercy, no matter what. Because the situation can be totally unexpected. But despite of, you know, the external appearance of this situation, is it good or bad? In material sense, they're always good for us. It's for our ultimate benefit, just to get us closer to the Lord.
Yes.
So these three things should be done before we do this. And it's very quick. Whatever you do, you try to do in this conscience, that's whatever comes from you, it will be coming from the heart, from the soul.
So beautiful.
That's Jiva Goswami.
I was supposed to be at Ekachakra Dham today. I missed my alarm clock. It was Krishna's wish, as you said. He changes the plan totally. And so we have to be in the mood that whatever you do is for good. Thank you, Mataji. So beautiful.
Krishna giving.
No, this class was very important for my growth. That is why. Thank
That's
you, Mataji. Thank
Shiguru
you. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much. Grandaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gaura Premanandi.